Hey guys, the following podcast is a Lady Gang Network and Podcast One production, which means it's going to be awesome.
From the creator of Riverdale comes a sparkling adventure in the Big Apple, full of fashion, drama, and dreams colliding with real life. The new series, Katie Keene, Thursdays, 8, 7 Central on the CW, or stream free on the CW app. Katie is the fashionista who knows all the trends. Josie is a singer-songwriter with a set of pipes. And Jorge has the moves and his eye on Broadway. Pepper is the it girl with all the connections. And in a city of 8 million people, they are four of a kind. I watched this trailer. I am so excited. I love Riverdale, and I love anything set in New York City. Katie and her friends will give everything for their dreams and will do anything for each other. These four determined dreamers will take on the runway, the recording studio, Broadway, and the New York social scene. They'll have to fight for their careers and learn how to fit in. In a city of style, Katie Keene is the perfect fit. High Style has a new name, Katie Keene, the fashionable new series, Thursdays at 8, 7 Central on the CW or stream free anytime on the CW app.
Calling all Gleeks.
I'm Kevin McHale.
And I'm Jenna Ushkowitz.
We became best friends on the set of Glee.
And now we're doing the Glee recap podcast you have been waiting for.
How romantic.
Each week we'll take you behind the scenes.
Spill all the Glee tea.
And break down episodes from season one with former cast, crew, producers, and writers that brought the show to life.
This is Showman's Glee Recap Edition.
I think everyone needs a little more tardy in their lives.
Welcome to Showman's. I'm Kevin McHale.
And I'm Jenna Ushkowitz. My balls have finally dropped.
Oh my God, congrats.
Thank you.
Congrats, Jenna.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're officially a man now.
Welcome to Showman's Glee Recap Edition.
Glee Cap Episode 5, Roads Not Taken, with the incomparable Kristen Chenoweth as a very, very, very... very special guest.
I mean, this episode is Kristen Chenoweth. There's nothing else to say about it other than Kristen Chenoweth.
I was very jealous that Kristen got to sing alone. I mean, not that I would be – I compare at all, but, like, I love the song.
Whatever Kristen Chenoweth wants to do
– she gets to do.
Yeah, because she's so good.
It's so strange to think about Kristen now, like, the way – the relationship we have Kristen now versus, like, this episode because – I don't know how you felt about this, but, like, this was the ultimate for me. Like, this was all my dreams coming true. Like, I used to stage door. Do you know what stage dooring is?
Yes.
Okay. So I used to stage – for people who don't know, stage dooring is when you, like, don't see the show, but you go to the stage door to see the stars come out afterwards and talk to them like they're your friends. And so after – like in college, we would be in Midtown, and then I would go and stage door Wicked, and I'd have a picture with Kristen back in the day, and I brought it to her on this day when she started and was like, this is a photo of us from a disposable camera, and here we are from like 2004.
That's wild. All I remember I remember Cut to Us in the Tin Shed.
Yes.
In rehearsal, and everyone saying, oh, Kristen's coming, and we had been rehearsing Last Name, and I just remember Chris being really, really, really excited.
Chris and I were so excited that we were about to pee our pants that we came up with a code word, cupcake.
Oh, that's
so
right.
That, like, cupcake when she was coming.
I suggested cupcake.
You did?
Yes.
Because your mom, something with your mom and cupcake.
Like, you know, because I had used that before. Like, if somebody's coming, say cupcake.
Oh, my God.
And so that was our, we would look at the
Is that what happened when you were talking with boys and somebody would come, you would say cupcake?
Maybe. Anyway, thinly veiled. So for this purpose, we were using it to spy for Kristen Chenoweth. And the tin shed was on the second floor, and so we kept looking down and looking for her. I had no idea who Kristen Chenoweth was.
Oh, Kevin!
Because I didn't know anything about theater.
I have makeup on, and I'm scrubbing my face right now because I'm so embarrassed for you.
And Kristen Chenoweth walks in.
Oh, my God.
And we had been in the tin shed learning last name for 2 days, three days.
Yeah.
She comes in. Zach Woodley and Brooke Lipton show her her part.
Maybe 30 minutes, she had it. And I was like...
I think really did it like twice through, and the rest of the time we were just talking, and she knew it. And we're like, oh, this is how a professional works.
I saw Wicked. I've seen Wicked 9 times on Broadway.
Oh, my God. I had no idea.
It changed my life. Yeah. It changed my life in high school. And Kristen is the mecca, like the mecca of all meccas. And I had been such a fan of hers for years since Good Man Charlie Brown and like everything she's done. So this was like really, I just cannot express to you how excited Chris and I were when we found out.
And this is one of those experiences where I'm assuming for you, where you always say, like, don't meet your hero because you never know. Chris and Chenoweth must have far surpassed any expectation you had.
Beyond. I mean, the fact that her cell phone is in my phone is still an accomplishment to this day.
She is the nicest, most positive, hardworking
person. And we were both adopted.
Yes, that's right.
So we both have, like, you know, we're the same person.
You're the same person. Yep.
All right, let's get into this, yeah?
Okay.
All right. We'll talk more about Chris and Chenoweth. So if you don't like Chris and Chenoweth, go fuck yourself. Okay.
You're a monster if you
this
don't like
episode, five, Roads Not Taken.
Yep.
Written by the Holy Trinity, Ian, Ryan, Brad, and directed by...
John Scott, the second episode he directed.
Songless, Kevin, take it away.
Well... this was the second time we did Don't Stop Believin'. We only did it for a second.
Right.
But I believe by the end of the series, we did it like, what, seven or eight times or something?
Right.
And I remember going into it, we were like, I can't believe we're like opening the song up again because it felt so classic to us that it felt
right.
weird to like even...
Little did we know.
We had Diana singing it.
Right.
It felt strange.
Anyway, little did we know.
So we had that. We had Maybe This Time, You Make My Dreams Come True. That montage is so good. Alone, Last Name, and Somebody to Love.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was a big episode.
It's a huge episode. And I think that's partially because it was like Kristen is its own episode. And then like moving the plot forward as well.
Yeah.
It's a whole other episode.
And in terms of sort of what some of these songs meant for our show and meant for us as the Glee Club like in real life.
Right.
Like Somebody to Love has a whole journey of its own for us.
It's probably one of my most memorable because like it really, that song really solidified for me like the group.
Yeah.
Right?
And it was one of those, watching it back, I realized it's one of the first times where you see more than two people singing at once. Because like, it was Rachel and Finn, and then you have Mercedes and Artie join in a bit.
Right.
And that felt more like a collective.
Do you remember my suicide run during this number?
Yes.
So I have to run from like one part of the stage to the other part of the stage. And Zach dubbed it the suicide run because like if you don't do it in the right timing, like and pass people at the correct time, like I could just end up off the stage somewhere like in the middle of a ditch. So I I love this number because I love a challenge.
And I remember this because I had to learn the choreography for this ages later, like months later, because I played guitar in it.
In the episode.
And then we ended up doing it on tour, and then we did it on Oprah.
Well, we also did it at Upfronts first.
Yep,
yeah.
We did. That's right. Anyway.
All right. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. A lot happens in this episode that mainly revolves around getting Rachel back into the Glee Club.
Because we need her.
Yeah, we need her. We like cannot win without her.
No, she is the voice of the Glee Club.
This was also... the first That's What You Missed on Glee with Ian Brennan narrating.
That's right. It took five episodes. There was a lot going on.
Well, the thing, that's what Alexis Martin Woodall said in her episode on the show. She was like, honestly, there's just so much that happens and like you can't remember what we're focusing on. So we have to go do the recaps. And so he started that. And then I took it as a challenge because I was like, he talks so fast during those.
Right.
And I was like, okay, well then Tina's going to talk even faster.
Yeah. Challenge accepted.
Challenge accepted. And our band, like our you know, regular band members, John Locke and crew,
yep,
were all in the band, in the room together with us a lot. And then like, in addition to Brad Ellis, our
that's
piano
true.
Player,
yeah.
Right?
Because in the beginning, the pilot, you see them.
Right.
And I feel like this is the first episode where they really were just like, we're going to have them here all the time.
Hmm. Okay.
you loved that.
Yeah. All right. So the Glee Club, we start with the Glee Club. Rachel's gone. Quinn has the solo. But Quinn keeps having morning sickness. And the Glee Club discusses the elephant in the room. And they can't win regionals without Rachel.
I also like that Finn is concerned. Like, oh, her dance moves. Because she's like, she's just walking. She's not really dancing, is she? And then Will goes, well, I'll give Tina some of her verses. It's like, how many verses are in the song?
Yeah.
Also, why are we always taking five?
Take five.
Always take
it. Well, that's like Matt from the top.
Yeah, from the top. Always taking five and always taking from the top.
Take five. Take five. Yeah, I don't know. The Glee Club, it's the stakes are high. The stakes are high. We need to get Rachel back.
Yeah. Everybody's panicked. Everybody's freaking out. and Finn has this nice journey to sort of work on that. I liked him trying to like get Rachel back.
I did like this too, but it's very manipulative.
It's super manipulative, but I liked seeing him play that.
Yeah, it was fun. He's brilliant. And it made me uncomfortable too. I was like, no.
It's weird.
Right?
I mean, it's not the healthiest thing in the world.
Oh, my God. So Will thinks of April, right? He's like, I'm going to get this file from Emma.
I know I keep saying this, but it's wild. The storyline is wild because you run into this guy who Vocal Adrenaline's been failing intentionally to keep him as a 6-year senior because he can do backflips or whatever. It's like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get some lady who I went to school with to come back.
Right.
And like has this file. In my memory of this, it was not that crazy. Like I was, oh yeah. And then Kristen Chenoweth shows up. Awesome. And Kristen Chenoweth is amazing. But watching this back now, being removed from it, I'm like, well, that is a crazy crowbar into this. That's what we should do. And it happens very quickly. And next thing you know, they're in like a model home.
Squatting.
Drinking boxed wine.
She's squatter.
Spitting her wine back out into the cup.
And it's so weird, Kevin.
Again, another person with like an addiction. Like she's an alcoholic and we're just sort of using her. Also, another thing of Will being, in addition to Will being neglectful of bringing in this woman, Figgins has gone MIA. I'm sure it's for contractual reasons he couldn't be in the episode.
We didn't have the budget.
But like, this woman shows up, she's wasted, the entire football team, and nobody's doing anything about it.
Gets a kid drunk.
They wait till she's already done one number at an invitational. I'm like, you know what? Now you gotta go.
The writer's conscience was like, well, Emma's the guidance counselor, so she can take care of some of the stuff when we can't pay for Figgins.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I also loved that our show like did stuff like this. Our show
and got
was
no backlash for it.
Yeah.
Except for that one Christian group.
They hate everything.
Yeah.
A million moms.
But that's it.
It's a million moms who was like, there's actually like just a couple thousand of them.
They just hated us.
They're going to boycott us. We'll get some good press.
Well.
Different time. It was a different time.
It was a different time.
And comedy.
Before we keep going, let's give a shout out to Third Love. If you're looking for a new bra, then make Third Love your first choice. Third Love uses the measurements of millions of women to design bras with all-day comfort and support. They have bras in over 80 sizes, from AA to I, including half cups and bands 30 to 48, all made with signature memory foam cups, no slip straps and smooth band, scratch-free band with a printed label. So right now, go to thirdlove.com/show. Romance and get 15% off your first purchase. Find your fit in 60 seconds. Over 15 million women have taken their online fit finder quiz. Answer a few simple questions to find out your size based on breast size, shape, and fit issues. This fun fit quiz. That's what I'm calling it, a fun fit quiz. Because the fit finder is so easy and it has photos to show you. It really guides you along the whole thing. And a lot of women are wearing the wrong bra size. So you should definitely go take this quiz if you don't think that your bra is fitting correctly. So if you don't love your bra after 60 days, returns are always free. Third Love donates all their gently used return bras to women in need, supporting charities in their local San Francisco Bay Area and across the United States. So far, Third Love has donated over $15 million in bras. That's amazing. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they are offering our listeners 15% off your first order. So go to thirdlove.com/showmance now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/showmance for 15% off today.
Hey guys. So as we told you last week, we are so excited that Showmance is now available to stream free on Spotify. If you haven't listened there yet, it's free to download and you can use Spotify on any device. It's a great listening experience and you can go straight from listening to Billie Eilish or whoever you love and switch right over to our podcast within the same app. Just search for our show on Spotify. That's Showmance Recap to start listening. And remember, it's totally free, even if you're not a premium member.
But here's the thing. We get to watch Kristen perform maybe this time. Do you remember sitting in the choir room when she did that? Number one, that was the first time we'd ever used the spotlight in the choir.
You're like, ooh!
Like, wow! Right? That was
shocked.
The first time?
And I remember they didn't really know, like, what to do with this, so they were trying things out. So we had the, like, sort of crescent moon shape. Like, they brought up the chairs, so we're, like, sitting on the floor and not in the risers anymore, which I don't really...
Like, I did not like that.
Yeah, that was weird. And then the spotlight comes on. We're all like,
oh, my God.
This is cool.
And we hadn't heard her record it. So when she performed for the first time, like, those tears that Kurt was crying were very real for Chris.
I remember Ryan coming out or somebody coming out and was like, can you do that again? Because they saw him off camera actually, like, crying.
Like, crying. And so, and then
like, when the camera's on you, he's like, oh, this is going to happen every time.
Yeah, yeah.
I had never heard the song maybe this time before. And I was like, first of all, what is this song and who is this lady? Because she and this song are very good. And I loved it because obviously the final version that we hear is a cut between Rachel and April. But when
we didn't see.
No, we just saw her do
Rachel
her parts.
Do it, though. Lilia do it because she was in the auditorium.
And I remember walking with Kristen afterwards because at this point we had bonded a little bit.
Right.
And then I realized, like, oh, maybe I am starstruck even though I don't know her. I just know she's so talented.
Well, like, staring into her eyes, you're like, oh, my God, like, I'll do anything for you. Right? Well, like, she's just like.
It was also just like a lesson, I felt like. And I feel like we were all soaking it up. Like, oh, she is acting. She's, like, living every single word. She's lip syncing right now.
Oh, my God. And I think she was actually singing, too.
She was singing the entire time.
I remember, like, hearing her.
Yeah, I did too. It was so good. And I remember walking up next to her. I'm like, you know, I've never heard the song before. She's like, you haven't? I'm like, no. And I was like, this is the most incredible thing I've ever heard. And she was like, oh, my God. And she was so sweet about it. And I'm like, not knowing in my head that she's this Broadway icon.
Yeah.
That, like, she's been told she's amazing a lot.
She's also really tiny.
Yeah.
Like, really tiny.
The tiniest.
Oh, my God. She's so cute. And I remember watching this and crying and being so excited. And then I was also, like, a little jealous that I didn't get to sing maybe this time.
Did that happen? Is that a running theme? Did that happen a lot?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of them. Yeah? Most of them. Like, I don't think I sang one Broadway song except for Tonight in Preggers. Yeah. And that wasn't even a fully recorded one.
Yeah.
I never get to finish my songs.
That's true. It's sort of Tina's thing. She gets cut off.
Poor, poor Tina. Anyway, so... The kids still are not won over by this performance, which we're crazy for not. I don't understand.
Well, I mean, they have
kids are like, oh, but it's still not Rachel.
Well, and it's also like some grown woman who is now magically in the Glee Club. Like, I do think they reserve the right to be a little skeptical of this whole plan.
Fine. But
also, Will here, the hero of our story,
brings in a drunk.
What is he doing?
But he's even
so
better
desperate.
Because he brings in April. Asks her to, like, woo the kids. And then Chris has a whole scene with her where he gets to be drunk and call Emma Bambi.
That is so good.
It's my favorite. He looks great doing it.
It's one of my favorite things. I remember we quoted that around set all the time for years.
And then I got to put meat between my legs and hang out with Kristen Chenoweth.
I loved watching that.
That was my favorite. That was so funny. I was so starstruck and so nervous, and she was so cool. And I texted her recently about it, and I was like, I'm rewatching this. This is crazy. And she's like, oh, the meat. We were a good pair. I was like, oh, Kristen.
I like when you have somebody who's that talented and who's down to do whatever, and they make them do sort of some crazy shit like that. And she's so funny.
She just took so many risks. So many risks.
And everything worked.
Like the quote of the episode. There's a few I wrote down. Give me maybe this time in B flat and don't let me catch a snooze.
Yeah, snooze them.
And then stick that in your pipe and smoke it. And then my favorite, which I got to witness very firsthand, I once almost got a kid's cake at a birthday party. This is when she's telling us like what you could steal between your legs. With the candle still lit. Like, what? Is that choice?
It's what? That's so good. The candle's still lit.
Well, the candle's still lit. So good. Okay. And then everybody's just sold. Everybody's into it then.
Yeah.
Right? We're all in?
And she's irresistibly charming. You have her, like, in some of the classes with Will. And they're like, is it para or por? And she's like, Pour me another
Crantini.
And everyone's like, ah, and he's like, oh no.
Oh no, what it's did like, I well, do? Well,
bro, like, what do you think is going to happen?
And Emma is like the voice of reason in this episode.
Yeah.
Sweet, sweet Bambi. Sweet, sweet Bambi.
All the nicknames, I think one of my favorite things about the show and the writing are all the nicknames for everybody.
Mm.
Because they were sort of just making fun of us, but it was so good that who, like, I'd rather lose the friend than lose the joke.
Right.
You know, like, yeah. Bambi, yeah. She's
oh
got
God,
some, those
so
big,
good.
Beautiful eyes.
She does look like a sweet little doe. Should we talk about last name or should we talk about Finn and Rachel?
Let's talk about Finn and Rachel and then all get right, to the numbers. Right. Let's
well,
the numbers
I also last. Love this Finn and Emma scene. It just sets it up so perfectly, even though it's weird. Like, she's like, you know, you want to get out of this town and blah, blah, blah. So, like, you could get a scholarship if you stick with Glee. And, like, the light bulb goes mm-hmm. off in Finn's mind. And he's like, hey, I got to get Rachel back in this club.
Yeah. One way ticket out.
And I got to pay for this baby.
Oh, poor boy.
Sweet.
And, like,
Finn.
Maybe you should tell your mom about this. And he's like, aww. No, I want to do this on my own. And I did think about, at the time, it's like, there's so much craziness happening in the show. It's like, I bet there's so many kids who are like go through that crazy time and think that like that is the best decision to do it on their own. Or it's like, these things happen. And can you imagine like the stress of like when you're in high school,
right.
Glee club and sports and everything seems like the end of the world. And,
yeah.
the big, and then
well,
there's some
yeah.
like real life stuff happening.
Sure.
Like you got somebody pregnant. Right. Well, you think you did.
And you like take it up on your own.
Like, yeah. You're just, and you're like, trying to be a quote unquote man about it. And,
oh my God.
God, so poor Finn.
I know. But good on him.
Yeah, he's trying.
Good on him.
Go manipulate Rachel.
I also love this music that they
everybody.
Started adding in. Now it's like the doo 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 doo
yes.
doo doo doo. It's so creepy and chilling. And yet it's still Glee. So, I mean, Rachel and Finn go to the bowling alley where, ironically, Will and April are.
You don't say.
You know?
I didn't see that coming.
I was upset we weren't at the bowling alley, too.
Yeah, I know.
Although I was also, like, day off, so fine.
We probably didn't have a day off.
No, we were probably rehearsing
yeah.
last name. Was the bowling alley weird for you? Like, seeing a totally different setting that wasn't Glee at all?
No. not really, because I think when like Kristen was on screen, like I just wanted to watch anything she was doing, and so and sometimes there's been other scenes where like, oh, I wish I was on that set, or I wish I got to go do that. But like with that,
right?
I also like Artie; he doesn't need to be there,
right? It's fine. I did like watching it though. I remember watching it in the theater. They showed us this episode,
yeah,
and being like.
I liked when
I
other characters went other places
Kristen.
Because, like, seeing right. what everybody else got up to. I was like, when did you guys do this? Like, I know I read this, but, like, when did you do this?
It's come to life.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, this is so good. Because when you're reading it, I guess selfishly, like, you're only thinking about really, like, how is this scene going to work that I'm in?
Mm.
And I'm not really envisioning so much so, like, what everybody else is doing.
No, totally.
And so when you watch it back, you're like, oh well,
cool.
This is no longer just on the page, and I'm seeing what they did, and they were really good.
Right.
And I like this.
Obviously. And this is the episode where I believe most of the Glee Club, like Artie, Tina, Mercedes, and Kurt find out
the nosy ones.
That Quinn is pregnant.
Yes.
Because they're standing around the piano, kind of like, you know, in cahoots trying to figure out why Quinn's been so sick, and then Puck spills the beans when Rachel enters the room, mm-hmm. right? And then Rachel finds out.
Yeah.
Because last episode was when Quinn told Finn, right, in Preggers. Yeah. So,
and then
I don't know. It was a little confusing to me. I was like, when did we learn?
Well, because it's a little multi-layered. Because
right.
it's when we find out, we think Finn's the dad, and then there's
right.
another reveal later
when
Puck's, actually
yeah,
the dad.
Exactly. Okay.
And then again, when
spoiler
Finn
alert.
Finds out. Yeah, spoiler alert. Sorry.
Right. So this is the one where Tina, I remember going, thinking, oh, this is when we find out Quinn's pregnant. And then that's what propels Rachel after the wonderful bowling alley scene when she's back in Glee and then says, forget it. I'm going to be in the musical instead of Glee.
She's
right?
upset. She can't handle it.
No, she can't handle it. But then we do Last Name. And we have the show with April Rhodes.
And she's drunk. She shows up drunk, and Will's like, you can't go do this. But guess what she does?
She does it.
She does it. And she nails it.
But...
sort of. I mean, she...
when we did this number...
She seems freaked out by Artie.
We rehearsed this. Oh, that's so funny. When she runs away
she runs
from
around
you
and then
the
she
wheelchair.
Kicks the chair.
So we... It's funny because we were rehearsing this, and the way it works is you rehearse the number for however long you get. Then on the day, they bring you up to rehearse so the crew could see it. So like camera and costumes and everybody can see what we're doing for the day. So we rehearsed last name. And somebody had just polished the stage.
Oh, yeah.
And we had put on our new cowboy boots that we had not rehearsed in at all. Because on Broadway, you always rehearse in your shoes for the 6 weeks.
I do remember this.
This, we didn't. We just got new stuff all the time. And we were in cowboy boots that were so slippery. And we rehearsed it. And Ryan was there because, like, Ryan was around a lot.
With Kristen,
and
especially.
I remember looking a mess. And I could see Zach's face. I could see Ryan getting pissed. I could see everybody. And I was like, oh, my God, this is not going well. And then they had us clear the room. They cleared the crew out and had us re-rehearse again until we got it right. Because he thought we didn't know it. And Zach was, like, really upset. Because, like, you know, that looks bad. It reflects on him. And we were like, oh, my God. And I wanted to say, like, it's the shoes and the stage. But, like, it seemed like we were placing blame on other things. But it was just the shoes and the stage.
Is that when we started? So somebody at some point suggested, like, you pour Coca-Cola on
yes,
the stage.
Like Sprite or hairspray. Yeah. And then you step on it. It makes it sticky.
Yeah, so you're not sliding everywhere. Because we started doing that for certain numbers.
Yeah.
Is that when that started? Did anybody suggest it then?
I think Heather probably suggested it. Smart girl. You know? Dancer girl.
Yeah.
But
she knows all the tricks.
I was just like sliding. Like I remember being like, oh my God, we're going to die today.
Sorry, guys. You poured soda on the stage?
Yeah. Oh, no. So what we did was we took little sections of Sprite and or Coke and on paper towels. And then you step on the paper towels and then you dry. You let the shoes dry and then you step and it makes it sticky because the like soda's sticky because of the sugar.
Gotcha. Little sections of Sprite.
Yes. Like on the sides of the stage where you'd step on the paper towels and then go on stage.
You know what's interesting about that? I had heard that for how many years? Like, oh, let's get Coke or Sprite. And I thought the entire time that they were pouring Coke or Sprite on the stage because I never needed it. So
because Kevin's wheels were always...
Yeah. I was, and especially during this one, I was playing guitar. So in my head, I've had it wrong this entire time. I thought you were literally pouring like liters of Coca-Cola all over the stage. And I'm like, this doesn't seem that sticky.
No.
I did learn this dance. This is the first dance I got up to actually learn in rehearsal.
Oh.
Because when I was watching it, just like when I watched the episode, I got up and started doing the last name choreography. I love doing this number. I don't know why. This is the one I remember more than anything.
Well, because you were able to dance a little bit.
Yeah.
Probably.
I really liked it.
I did not like this number. So.
And I got to, like, hold Kristen Chenoweth on my chair, which I thought was fun.
Right. And it was great. I just did not. Anytime I hear that song, I'm like, oh, God, it's so bad.
Isn't that funny how, like, we were in the same number but have very different memories and experiences of it? Because I have very fond memories of this. I only liked this song because I liked Kristen's version in this number.
Well, sure. I still don't feel good about it. Before we keep going, we have a deal for you from Tamara Melon. From the co-founder of Jimmy Choo, Tamara Melon is the next generation of luxury footwear. They are disrupting the status quo, not just in the fashion industry, but as an outspoken advocate of women's issues. Shop tamaramelon.com/showmans for $100 off your first pair through March 29th. Use code SHOWMANS at checkout. I love this company, not only because they are advocates for women's issues, but also because this fit quiz is amazing. You go on, you tell them the size you wear in other brands, you tell them the size of your calves, of your ankles, and they give you your Tamara Melon size. It's amazing. Their shoes are handcrafted in Italy in the same factories as other luxury designers. No retailers, instead delivering direct to women. Tamara Melon has stores in LA, New York City, and San Francisco designed to feel like a closet with everything organized in sections by size, just how I like it. They provide complimentary shoe care with every purchase, and everything is guaranteed with repairs for up to 2 years. You can call their liaisons. They know the shoes and how they fit. Free shipping and returns and no limit to when you can return. 0% financing available through Affirm because luxury shouldn't be exclusive. Celebrity fans of the brand are Lizzo, Ashley Graham, Gwyneth Paltrow, January Jones, and of course, Jenna Ushkowitz.
Shop tomorrowmelon.com/showmans for $100 off your first pair through March 29th. Use code SHOWMANS at checkout. That's TAMARAMELLON.com/showmans.
Hey guys, it's Kelty Knight from the Lady Gang podcast. If you're into getting a very sassy, sexual, beautiful, inspiring, funny, oftentimes embarrassing, slightly anal podcast in your repertoire, subscribe to us, Lady Gang, on Podcast One, the Podcast One app. And please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
So Will tells April she can't stay because she broke a promise. She said she was going to go back on the wagon.
Oh, Will, how nice of you. This is your 10th warning.
And she also agrees that it's you know what, it's no longer her time to be up there shining, because it's these poor small children's times to be shining and not hers anymore.
And then Rachel?
And Rachel.
Enter Rachel eating humble pie.
Comes back.
Sort of.
Well, sort of. And she decides that she's going to save the day.
Yeah, she's willing to be April's understudy. And everyone's like, do you also remember all the photos we have from, remember they had all the vanities and we were like putting on each other's like makeup and stuff? Yes. Is that from this?
Yes.
That was from this. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
I can't believe it was that long ago.
I know. It's weird to think also Rhodes is the same, last name is the same episode that we did Somebody to Love.
And I didn't, we were doing, because I have the collection of photos, like the wardrobe photos and stuff that we get to take home. And I remember them being together and we're doing last name. I'm like, wait a minute. Isn't Somebody to Love still in this? But normally we'd end an episode with a number. I was very confused.
I know.
And then we do
Somebody
I think maybe this second most iconic number we've ever did in the entirety of the series.
Yeah.
I think if nothing else, this episode was the vehicle for Somebody to Love happen, because I feel like people may forget about some of the storylines in this episode.
Right.
They may forget about last name, but like Somebody to Love was
iconic.
It was a really big number for us.
Yeah. I mean, it was magical. I remember just like, It really felt like we were a group, like, and it was more complicated choreography. Well, it wasn't complicated choreography. There's just so many of us.
Yeah.
And so it took a lot of like maneuvering. But I also just remember like this song is so good. Like the song itself is just so good. I mean, that one did number one. That one went number one as well, right?
Yeah. I remember specific stories on this one about the recording studio. Because I went in, if you listen to the full version.
Which most people do.
I'm in it a lot.
Yeah.
But I knew for the TV edit, I was going to get cut other than like my ad libs at the end. And then when Amber and I have the
guitar.
Big note together.
Right.
But I went in there and thinking, I heard the demo. I was like, oh, this is going to be really hard. And the guy was doing all these crazy runs. But they had changed some parts from Freddie Mercury. And I was worried, like, if I went in and suggested, can I sing this line like Freddie Mercury, they're gonna be like, no, just do this. And it was just the first time I really got to like sing after being in a boy band for so long,
right?
And it was different, and I wanted to be like,
I want to
push myself,
right?
Like everybody else is singing their face off, let me try to sing.
Yeah.
And I went in there and I asked Adam Anders, I'm like, hey, there's this one line, can I do it like this? He's like, sure, yeah, do whatever. And then I did it. He's like, great, let's do everything else like that. I'm like, okay, wonderful. And then
Yay.
And it was sort of like a good moment for
him too.
He was learning our voices. You know, each time we went in, he was learning what we were capable of. And I was trying to, like, push myself to be better. And then I got to be in there when Amber did her part, which is, like,
oh my God,
best. That thing. And I remember early in the day we were shooting, and she's like, I was in her trailer. And she's like, what should I do for that part? Because we were listening to,
oh my God, the demos?
The demos. And we're listening to the original version, and she obviously could do it all.
Right.
And she was, I could just see in her head and she, like thinking, I'm like, what is she going to do?
Oh,
like,
God.
Is she going to do the regular version? And then we go in there and I was sitting in the studio with Adam and she was just, she did like 4 or 5 takes. Each time was a different thing.
Oh my God.
And they were like, okay, go again. Think of something different. So she was just like playing. And then eventually they sort of collaborated and came up with the one that it was. And like, okay, let's try that. That sounds great. And they did that a couple times and that was it. And I'm just like, ugh.
It's so perfect.
It's so perfect. And it was like, it was nice, especially in the beginning, to be in the studio to see like these things come together.
Right.
Like when we get to Wheels to talk about Proud Mary, that
so
was the
fun.
Same vibe. Where it was,
we were all in the studio together during that.
Yeah. And it was nice to see Amber
oh my God.
Like work
oh my
and
God.
Just like, oh no, she really is as good as you think she is.
No, totally.
And like with Adam being collaborative, right. When like you're under a tight schedule, we have a lot of songs to do, and like he's willing to listen to us and let's try some things.
He's very a patient man.
Yeah. And then we went on and did that song everywhere.
Amber's part in that song every night on tour made me cry.
So good.
Every night.
On tour, we used to like mess around with each other because sometimes I would do the ad-libs and sometimes she would and sometimes she wouldn't and then sometimes I wouldn't.
Yeah.
And then I remember usually towards the end, we're like, okay, we only have a couple shows left. I started adding in all my regular ad-libs.
Right.
And then like Leah and Amber look at me like, why you just start doing that now? Because then it throws them off. I'm like, sorry, guys. Do you remember one of our favorite things was to sort of give Corey shit for the find me, which is we were like, I don't think it was so not great.
Find me.
Because it also like doesn't sound like him, and it's his face during the number. We used to give him so much shit for it.
I loved doing that number.
I loved
it. We had done that number so much too. We could do it in our sleep. Like if they asked us to do it today, I could probably do it.
Is it possible for you to hear the original version and not sing the backgrounds to it?
No. Oh, yeah. I'm literally it's ingrained in my brain.
No matter where I am, if I hear somebody singing it at karaoke, if I hear the original,
I'm doing the backgrounds.
It happens.
This is also when Tim Davis, our wonderful lyricist man, who made sure that all of our lip syncing was like timed up. And
did we even?
I don't think we've talked about.
We
Tim
had
Davis.
A whole team,
a musical team
to like help with our lip syncing, and Tim Davis was the man in charge,
who produces all of the background vocals they record in the studio. That we lip sync.
He's incredible.
He's amazing.
But he would make all these insane color coded lyric sheets. Like as the show gets on and there's more people in the Glee Club and more people start singing.
Yeah.
There could be 8 of us singing.
Yeah.
And everybody has a different color to match up.
Yeah, on the lyric sheet to learn it.
Every combination.
And then
I felt so
bad.
But
then he'd have to be on set with us too on the day to make sure that like all the timing like syncs up, or else we'd have to do it again. And I remember him like he'd be like, you guys really have to sing and like you have to open your mouths and like, you know, honestly, and like do it. And this was one of those first numbers that I remember him being like a total hard ass on us in the best way possible.
He had
and
to
being
be.
Like, you have to sing these background vocals and you have to. And I think that's why it's so ingrained in my brain, because like he was there to like push us.
Yeah. Also, I mean, especially with this song, the backgrounds are sort of so loud and present.
Yeah.
You just keep closing and closing. Or like you have to look like you're singing out.
So this episode is also, Steve pointed out, like a little bit of the hint of the origin of Britannia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is necessarily related to the story that eventually happened.
No.
Because in the episode, Brittany is giving Santana a massage.
But like Heather did that on set all the time.
She also gives the best massages.
She does. And
I would just walk up to her and be like, yeah, rub my head.
Yeah.
Give me a massage.
You know who also gives really good massages is our lyric master, Tim Davis.
Oh, he does.
The bomb.
They have strong hands, those two.
Yeah.
But so I feel like even though this isn't related, I feel like it is nice now to go back and see
the genesis.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they did that on their own accord, which is like, you know, chicken or the egg. Did they write it or did they write for it?
True.
Whoa.
They saw the chemistry.
I know.
The undeniable chemistry of Britannia. I love me some Britannia.
Me. Somebody to love.
I loved ending, like on tour, I loved ending the tour with this with the song.
Somebody?
Yeah.
Wait. Fine. Me. Somebody to love.
Yes.
Somebody.
You sing so pretty.
Okay, should we get to our wonderful call-in guest?
Yes, because I also, in this episode, a big thing, especially Emma Pillsbury.
So good.
Her costumes.
Everybody's costumes. They're just getting bold and beautiful.
So good. And like I feel like they're telling a story.
Yeah. No, Lou Eirich is the incredible costumer for most of Ryan Murphy's shows. And, you know, she's a producer now on a lot of current Ryan Murphy shows. She sets all of the looks. She set all of our looks, you know, and we're going to talk to her about, like, setting the Glee kids.
Yeah, she's brilliant. She defined our characters
by what they were wearing. Yeah, definitely. Because, like, when we had put our costumes on, like, I automatically felt like I was, like, transported into a different world, like into the world of Glee.
And for people who watch the show, you know each of our characters because of how they're dressed.
Right.
Just by looking at, like, by silhouette, you know who they are because of what she did immediately.
Well, then it's Dr. Lou.
Glee!
Lou! Lou!
Hello.
Hi, Lou.
Hello. Oh, my God. Two of my favorite people.
We love you. You're our favorite person.
Yeah, I love hearing your voice.
I'm putting on my extra special radio voice.
Oh, it's working.
So wonderful. Lou, thanks for calling in. We really appreciate it. You were such an integral part of season one and the making of Glee. So we're just happy to have you.
We need everyone to know.
I'm honored.
Lou was the – what was your official title?
Costume designer.
But, like, she – you molded – all of our characters, I think, much more just from the costumes, even more than the costumes, from day one. Like, what was your meeting with Ryan in the beginning? Like, how did this all come together for each of these characters?
So the pilot episode, as you all remember, we crammed into that little building in Ryan's. Ryan had to move out of his office, and we fit in the bathroom, if I remember.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes, we did.
With a little, like, racks that made a little wall of protection. God. Ryan's so hands-on, and it was really in the script, you know, per character. And he guided us, but, of course, it was all about being colorful but real. He really wanted these characters to feel real and the audience fall in love with them. And each one have an individual look. So it did take a bit to hone into that. But Ryan was the guiding light there, the captain of the ship. Right. I remember him just being really specific about finding that line. And, like, Jenna, if you remember, we went kind of normcore with you first.
Yes. It was like mom jeans, Keds, sneakers, sweaters.
Yeah.
So... not Tina.
Then I got the normcore.
At all.
The normcore. No, I remember distinctly Ryan then looked at the pictures and said, let's try like punk or goth or a cross in between. And that was a lot more fun.
I remember you called me back. You're like, so we're going a totally different way.
You looked at the rack and went, well, yay.
Which, like, also, then it changed my audition song for the pilot as well because she had such a nice, cute, sweet little song. And then all of a sudden it was I Kissed a Girl. So, like, it was so informative and so important to really set the tone of the characters before anything else, you know?
Yeah, and then with Kevin, Ryan's like, I want him always to have a buttoned-up, short-sleeved white shirt. That's where that whole thing came.
I remember
the French out a little bit.
I remember we were in, I think it was the initial fitting, and I had khakis on, and then you gave me like a tan khaki-colored cardigan, and you're like, you're looking at it in the mirror, you're like, should we tuck the cardigan into your pants?
Oh, my God.
And I was like, sure.
They were high-waisted pleated.
Oh, yeah. And it was like this really thick, like, sweater material cardigan. Yeah. I'm like, sure, I'll tuck it in. And then from there on out, Corey used to make jokes like, oh, I just want to make sure. Okay, yes, your sweater's tucked into your pants. Okay, great. Yep, always. Yes. Like, when we would have new, like, sometimes later on in the seasons, we would have new wardrobe people come in and be like, are you sure that's supposed to be tucked in? I'm like, yep. Every article of clothing tucked into my pants, please. That's.
Do you still have PTSD?
Well, what I realized, Telly, who started out as one of our PAs and our best friends and eventually became a writer for everyone. Telly, like season three or something, there was an article that had come out about normcore. And he's like, you know, do you think Lou, through Artie, brought normcore back? I was like, I don't know. And then I realized now in my life, I dress more like Artie than I did during that period.
For sure.
So you remember part of the problem we had with you was no matter what we put on you, I mean, it could have been a Gucci ad. Now, you know, you
yes, exactly.
So good. Right. Even like, how do we tame it down? Luckily, the hair helped, but it was really tough because you looked cute even in the tucked in golf sweaters.
Oh, well, I think you're the only one who thought that, but thanks.
No, I thought that too. Lou, remember, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here, but when we went steampunk with Tina when she was wearing like full lace up to her neck and, you know, it got really crazy for a while and we went
cameo.
Like hardcore. And then there was one point where you called me and you were like, so I hear you're a little uncomfortable. I was like, it's just a lot of stuff. So that's when you were like, maybe some black dresses with some really cool accoutrement. And that's how Tina kind of got into this like whole like mod world. But we evolving the characters too is like really important.
Yeah. Like, so it wasn't feeling just stuck in the same look all the time. And that's real, too, because in high school, you're still finding yourself.
Right.
And you
evolve.
Where
did you find those yellow polyester outfits that Amber says she can't get the stank ass out of them in the pilot?
Yeah. The yellow polyester.
Do you remember those?
The stink ass. No, I don't.
Oh, with the bell bottoms and those horror. I'll have to send you the photo. It's just.
Oh, those were actually. Weren't they from the high school? Isn't that what their glee club wore?
Ew!
Oh, no, really?
What?
I think so. Weren't they like yellow bell bottoms and little.
Yes.
Yeah, that came from a glee club.
Oh, my God.
I'm dead!
We did not know that.
Oh, my goodness.
I know this is not the episode. we called to talk about Roads Not Taken, but one of my favorite memories of you. So during season one, I desperately in my personal life needed help getting cool clothing. And Lou was patient because, I mean, she was, you know, dressing 80 cast members on Glee and then be like, so Lou, where should I go shopping? What should I get? And she was always so nice. And she like, made me aware of all these different designers and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then there was an episode, was it in season one when Alexander McQueen died? And you, I don't know if anybody would have picked up on it, but you dressed Chris, Kurt, in 100% Alexander McQueen that entire episode, which I thought was the, like, sweetest sort of tribute, like, subtle tribute. Lou paying her respect to one of the greatest. It was just really, really. In every scene, I was like, I would take a moment and I'd look at Chris's clothing. Also, for the rest of the series, I would, oh, poor Chris. I'd go up and just like rub him. You'd be like, what? I'm like, sorry, I just want to feel these textures because everything you're wearing is so expensive.
I'm wearing my JCPenney short sleeve, yes. Buttoned to the top, scratchy.
I have the cheapest wardrobe budget, but you're worth it.
Can we talk about, since this is Roads Not Taken, this episode, can you talk about dressing Kristen Chenoweth for this?
Oh, yes. What a dream that was. First, like, she's a 00, so that was the only challenge because she was incredibly incredibly lovely and beautiful on the inside and out. But Ryan just wanted her like a piece of candy, you know? We just got to dress her in the hot pink little mini dresses, and I should look up her wardrobe as I'm talking, but...
it was lots of denim.
Yes, cowboys.
Lots of denim, all the time. Tiny little skirts and leopard.
Yes. So I did the pilot, and then when we got into the actual series, Jennifer Eve came on as my assistant.
Jen,
and then she took over this. You know, she became designer too. But her and I, when she came on, it was just a wonderful union because she's an Uber shopper and stylist, and we came up with these ideas and she went out and shopped and found these insane, like, I think they were from Fox Hills Mall and, or like out in, I don't know, Koreatown or one of those malls that you don't really go to.
Right.
Not because they aren't great, but a lot of us just don't know they exist. And found, and because she's so small, was able to find these all denim jumpsuits. And it was something that kind of formulated in the fitting. As many as you know, fittings are progression. Like you start one way and halfway through, you're like, wait, it's not working. And you go, wait, let's try this. And then it clicks. And that's how it was with Kristen. Like we were trying stuff that wasn't quite right. It was either too comical and kitschy or too normal. And then we hit it.
I mean, that's the line that you really had to play between for all the characters was like this groundedness and yet so elevated at the same time.
Well, and like the attention to detail, because Jaima's character, Emma, she always had, I think, just the coolest clothing. But in this episode, she always had these sort of like brooches on with every single scene, a new outfit. She had these crazy little details that you would add, and you would do that for every character. I don't know how you guys had the time to throw that all together. How was like throwing Jaima's clothing together?
Jaima was, again, we started with one thing, and through the progression of the fitting, because Ryan wanted her kind of like the sexy librarian.
Hmm.
But then it was like not sexy librarian, but you know, librarian. And it happened when we started using pops of color and contrasting color and color blocking for her. And again, she was petite and just wanted to make sure the clothes didn't eat her up. So it was mostly just finding quirky, fun collars, and she definitely progressed as we went along too. But the pins are kind of what
and those
what
berets,
gave her her little
so good. Something I've noticed
was really fun. I love her too.
The progression of Sue's tracksuits. So I feel like in the beginning there were a lot of Adidas tracksuits, and then the Adidas logo disappears. What happened?
Yeah, just because you can't. Because we ran out of colors. And you have to, like, we worked with them for a while, but there's only so many colorways, and we wanted to get brighter and funner, and we wanted to make the wedding gown to look like a tracksuit,
oh
and we
God.
Just, because Adidas has a copyright on on the stripes.
Didn't somebody start making the tracksuits for you guys?
Yeah, we had them made.
Damn. Well, that's what happens when you're Jane Lynch and you're on great.
Yeah. Well, it's just, and that was Ryan, because Ryan wanted bigger, better, faster. You know,
right.
He wanted more tracksuits and more colors and more contrast. And so it just got limited, and that's when we found something to make them. And then it started getting really fun, like, how can we come up with some fun patterns? And then he's like, now we need a wedding dress. What if it was made up like a tracksuit?
Oh, my God. That was the ultimate.
I have to say, for all of the, before we go, before all of the craziness that ensued in Glee and the crazy schedule, Lou was always like a calming presence and force. And so you are just the sweetest human. And thank you. Like, and you hear it now in your descriptions of our fittings, how collaborative you are. And you always made sure people felt comfortable. And if they didn't, you were open to changing things. And I think that's not always the case. So you're the best.
Well, you guys were also damn lovable. I just wanted to take y'all home in the pocket.
Lou, we love you so much. Thank
love
you so much for
thank
calling
you.
In. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for including me.
Oh, anytime. Bye.
Bye.
Glee. All right. Well,
this is one of my favorites.
I know.
It is different now in hindsight, watching it.
It's not what I remembered at all.
It's not what I remembered at all.
But it was fun.
And
it was
long,
a really good
like Kristen Chenoweth, just she's the queen of everything.
The queen busy.
Next week we have
episode 6, Vitamin D.
Oh, that's a good one.
And we have a great guest.
Oh, such a good guest. Who's like?
And it's mashups. I love mashups.
Oh my God! The birth of the mashup
Yay!
On Glee.
So go watch it now or whenever, and
yes.
come back next week
back.
And recap with us
and hear some wonderful stories from our amazing guests.
Yay! Till next week. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to Showman's Glee Recap Edition.
Get new episodes every Thursday on Spotify, PodcastOne.com, and Apple Podcasts.
Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jenna Ushkowitz.
Follow me on Instagram at Kevin McHale and on Twitter at Druidude.
Subscribe to the show.
Leave a nice rating.
And a 5-star review.
And spread the word.
See you next week.
Bye.
Somebody.
You sing so pretty.